new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm your host, Jordan Hill. Got the whole crew with us today, Rusty Mansell and Kip Adams. Fellas, I don't know how it's feeling in y'all's neck of the woods on this Friday morning. Pretty cold here in Athens. Rusty, you keeping it warm up in Rome?
Ray, I'm done with it, man. Once Christmas is over with, once the holidays are over with, I'm ready for spring. But you take those little wins as you can get it. And I noticed last night the sun's going down at like 6:05 now. So you take those little wins when you can get them, and every day it's getting a little bit better. So we'll see. It's just that time of year you have to have it. And I always tell my family this, the best part about this year, no, I said the word mosquito in a long, long time.
That's a good point. Kip, how is this Friday morning treating you?
Pretty good, man. I'm hanging in there. This time of the year is good because my lack of tan doesn't really stand out. There's not a lot of people going out right now. So, you know, I look like a walking dead year round, but, you know, I'm allowed to go out and kind of mingle in with everyone right now and blend in a little bit. It's July whenever my paleness starts to stand out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So don't feel like you are getting slighted on this one. Well, a lot to talk about. As strange as it may sound, I mean, we're only a few days away from National Signing Day, which, you know, we were talking about it yesterday and it kind of hit me like, oh, my God, we're less than a week away. But, you know, a lot still going on the recruiting front. A lot to talk about in terms of that. And Rusty, let's start with this upcoming weekend for Georgia. Mm-hmm. What this weekend is shaping up to be as far as people coming into Athens and the value of this weekend for Georgia?
You know, as you look at this, it's kind of – you got to understand where they are in this cycle. I mean, these coaches are walking zombies right now. I mean, as we tape this, what Kirby Smart was in Connecticut this morning. He was on Long Island, expected to be in D.C. This is the last day the coaches can be on the road. The assistant coaches till April 15th, Kirby Smart until after September the 1st next year. So this is it basically for Kirby for 8 or 9 months. So I think people were expecting this to be like this huge weekend, going to have 200 prospects and all that. That's not how this works. In fact, I went back and looked at this weekend last year and it had like Kelby Collins, some of those guys. They did have Jordan Hall, who they wind up getting. So, you know, you finish up with a junior day. And I think there's some really good names here. Obviously, we're going to start with Jamal Merriweather, who's the commit, who will take his official visit. Should be signed in next week and done with his deal to Georgia out of Brunswick, offensive tackle prospect. And I had a chance to see him earlier this fall. I'm telling you, man, this is one of those kids that you look at and you think, what, you know, how did he end up being? How good is he? Because he's got that kind of potential. Juan Gaston's a 2025 offensive tackle from Westlake High School. I believe at the time we're doing this, he is unranked. He is a 2-year starter at Westlake. His dad played basketball, I think, at Georgia Tech. He's 6'8", 330 pounds. I think Juan Gaston will end up a 5-star at the end of his recruiting cycle. I think he's got an elite skill set. This will be his second visit, I think, to Georgia. Dwight Phillips, junior, his dad's the Olympic gold medalist track. Dwight Phillips is a guy at Pebble Brook High School, 2024 athlete. A lot of people start recruiting him at running back now. I did talk to Pebble Brook this week. They told me that's where Georgia's recruiting him. He may be the fastest player in the country. He's a 10-300 guy. Obviously, he has really good genes there with his dad, you know, longtime Team USA track guy. So you look at Dwight Phillips and you look at the future of running backs and how it's not so much a bruising in between the box guys. You look at guys like Kenny McIntosh, who does most of their damage outside the box, but it also can pass pro. I was listening to a podcast yesterday talking about, you know, stock risers, and Kenny McIntosh is a guy that they believe his stock's going to rise as scouts dig into him a little bit more and what he's able to do, especially in an NFL style offense. So, you know, the question is going to be, is Deuce Robinson coming this weekend? I don't know if Deuce Robinson is coming this weekend. I think he has a basketball game tonight. He just got back from Hawaii, where he played in the Polynesian Bowl. I think he was there 8 days. So he's been everywhere in the country. So if he doesn't come to Georgia this weekend, I don't think it's indicative of what his decision is going to be. If he doesn't come this weekend to Georgia, I don't think he's going to be anywhere. Just my gut feeling. We'll see if he does. But this guy, listen, he's at the end of the process too. And he's been through, he's had all these coaches in his house, done all these things. And don't forget, he's also a major pro baseball prospect. So he's got a lot going on. It's not make or break. The next question would be, where do I predict him? I would predict Georgia right now. It's still, he's a heavily recruited prospect. So we'll stay on top of that the rest of the week going into it. So I think when you look at some of those things, Aaron Butler from Calabasas, California is going to be, it's still going to be a good weekend. There's still going to be some prospects. Josiah Brown, I think the young man that Kirby's seeing this morning, checking in on Long Island, New York, will be down. So, you know, it's still going to be a really good weekend, I think. But I think people, from my just sense, they thought this was going to be, you know, 30 legit prospect, crazy weekend. It's not really that weekend. These guys are at the end of the cycle. These coaches are off the road for the entire month of February. I think Kirby Smart gives these guys a week off after signing day, and they'll be on wherever with their wives and families. So this is definitely the end, and I think Georgia on this last kind of junior day for this particular recruiting cycle here, we'll still have a good weekend. We'll see what we catch up with some of the guys that get off campus, and obviously we'll be on top to see if Deuce Robinson makes it in this weekend.
Yeah, it's I can't even imagine the whirlwind for the recruits, but also the coaches as well. Like you said, Rusty, it's just a crazy time of year, and the amount of houses, amount of high schools they're going to. I mean, like that day that they said what they're going to hit 100 high schools in 100 a day.
Schools, yeah, you know what I've been doing so long, Jordan? It's funny. I'll let you in on my little secret. I'm going to look at the pictures from day to day. I see who has the same pants on, who doesn't. So there's a lot of coaches, and I'm just calling Georgia coaches out. There's a lot of coaches that go back-to-back with the same. I mean, I tell you how long they get on the road Sunday night, and they don't come back till Friday, you know. So there's a lot of them recycling some things out there on the road, but it tells you what the grind and what they're doing. But I'm always, you know, Matt Luke, that first week, Matt Luke had that famous pullover I did talk to Matt Luke, and what had happened, he got hired. He didn't come back to Athens. Kirby Smart puts him on the road. Well, his son's travel baseball coach was a big-time Georgia fan. Matt Luke swings by his house over in Oxford, Mississippi, grabs that pullover. He doesn't get official UGA gear until he gets back to Athens the next weekend. So that's kind of an all-time story. But I told him that pullover got a life of its own, because by the end of the week, that thing was done, man. You can see the wrinkles in it. I mean, that pullover was done by the time he finally got to Athens.
Matt Luke just being resourceful. That's all I'm hearing out of that story.
Pretty smart, huh?
Absolutely. Kip, I want to ask you big picture. You know, we talked about the last few weeks. We talked about it on Tuesday's podcast about Georgia's coaches going out to all these high schools. Obviously, there's going to be some recruits and recruits in future classes coming here this weekend. But how valuable is this time of year with kind of laying the groundwork with these recruits, guys that, you know, are not going to be signing anytime soon with anybody, but to kind of get that kind of FaceTime and check in on some of these guys?
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. It's setting the stage for the spring, telling, you know, these high school coaches, let your guys know we're going to come see them in practice, and we want them to come see us in practice. And then that's what you're doing in the spring. They're trying to do the kind of the same thing, setting up for the next stage. We want to see you in camp. Can we get you in camp? So that's a lot of what this is. You're seeing a lot of 2024, 2025, and even 2026. And I mean, technically, they're not talking to any of these kids. You know, they're just going and spending time with the high school coaches and letting them know, like, your guy's going to be a priority for us over the next couple of months. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're just laying the groundwork for the next couple of classes because, like we said, other than, you know, three prospects, one already committed and one who will be going on a mission trip and not, you know, even being on campus wherever he signs for at least 18 months. Now, there's really only one other guy in the mix, and that's Deuce Robinson. So this class is done, and these coaches are done. I mean, there's not a, you know, this coaching staff's gone through 15 games. They've been going nonstop since fall camp. And so, you know, they've already done all of that work. This is just about just kind of letting these guys know, you know, we're about to start that next cycle. You guys are it. Just be ready and know that we're going to, you know, continue to communicate with you guys. So I think that's the big aspect of what, you know, they're trying to do, trying to hit their main stops right now and kind of let them know, listen, when spring practice starts, we want you guys here. And like you said, we're looking right now mostly at a couple of tight end prospects for Todd Hartley, and we continue to talk about and joke about his recruiting right now. You look at the final, you know, 24/7 sports rankings coming out, and Todd Hartley's got a chance. You know, whether you're looking at the composite where you're looking at 24/7 sports, it's a different name, but he's got the number two tight end in the country already on board. Pierce Sperling's the number two tight end in the composite. And then you have Lawson Lucky. He's the number two tight end on 24/7 sports. Deuce Robinson being the number one tight end. And then you look down there and you also see that they're in the mix for Walker Lyons, you know, a top five, top eight tight end as well. So when all is said and done, I think, you know, right now, Todd Hartley's projected to sign four of the top eight or nine tight ends in the country. I don't know if that's ever been done before. I'm going to assume it hasn't been. And I just think right now you look at that position room. It's ridiculous what they had on the field last year, but it's just also ridiculous how well Todd Hartley's being able to recruit that position for Georgia.
If
it's camp offer season. And that's something that me and Kip had to learn that term. You know, you got an offer from us, but come on by and camp and back that thing up. So that's kind of the way it is in the world. But that's definitely out there in all the schools that you can name are using the old camp offer right now.
For sure. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned, kept talking about Todd Hartley. If all that comes to pass, I'm already envisioning what's on the junkyard, the photos they're going to post of Todd. If that's probably my favorite thing when there's a tight end commit or something like that. A lot of nice photo shots of Coach Hartley that winds up on the board.
Oh, man, Jones County, baby.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and just talk a little bit about next Wednesday. It's definitely a different kind of National Signing Day than years past, but there could be plenty to keep an eye on when it comes to Georgia. So we'll talk about that when we come right back.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Duzable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, first, before we get into signing day, Rusty, I want to make sure and throw this to you because there was a question about Dylan Raiola in the comments. And also, you mentioned earlier Ryan Puglisi, the coaching staff, some of the coaches being up there to see him in Connecticut. What's the latest that you're aware of when it comes to Raiola and the, you know, knowing that Georgia's already got one quarterback commit, maybe what that looks like if Raiola is really in the mix at Georgia?
Says a lot about both kids because everything I have heard and, you know, I have not asked the young man, but I've, you know, seen some things and talked to some people like Ryan Puglisi is coming to Georgia, whether Dylan Raiola is committed and signed or not. Now, these are young men and things can change, but, you know, he's very aware of Georgia recruiting him. Puglisi and his family were down on the national championship celebration Kirby Smart was in Connecticut this morning with Todd Monken. I think that says a lot. Kirby Smart was in Arizona on Tuesday, I believe, stopping in Dylan Rayola's school, and did his in-home with Deuce Robinson, I believe, the night before. So he's seen both quarterbacks this particular week, and this is it for him, so he couldn't go back. You know, everything I hear is that, you know, these two young men, if Rayola were to come to Georgia, that they were going to come here and get in that room and get in the mix, see what happens. So, right now with Dylan Rayola, it's going to be at USC this weekend. They're obviously a school that's recruiting him. Nebraska ties with his uncle on staff. His dad played there. He's definitely going to take a visit to Nebraska, but he can't do it during February, so that puts you into early March. I was told that maybe Oregon's a school that he's going to check out. So he's going to do a few more visits before he comes back in on a final decision. That's just due diligence after committing and decommitting. You want to kind of back all things a little bit. Do I think Georgia's in a good spot right here? I do. I think the impression people kind of got that he was going to just flip and commit to Georgia and didn't really know how it was going to play out, but he looks like he's going to take some visits. But I do think Georgia's in a good spot with him. Can they hold on to that, and will they land him? We're going to find out, but I don't expect anything from him to the earliest, in my opinion, probably mid to late March on a decision out of him.
Looking ahead to next Wednesday with National Signing Day, as we've talked about, things are so different now with the early signing period. Essentially, that's the signing day, and then you've got the late signing day in February. But still some names to watch for with Georgia. I believe Georgia signed 25 high school prospects in that early signing period in December. But, Rusty, what are the names, what are the storylines when it comes to Georgia that everybody's going to be watching for on Wednesday when some of these recruits put pen to paper?
I was going to be Deuce Robinson and what happens there. I don't expect much of a surprise. You know, I think back to me and Kip many, many days on this weekend in particular was the worst one ever, because you'd have about 10 official visitors and those kids were not talking on Sunday. It was a wrap. Like, they wasn't talking to anybody. You couldn't get them on the phone. So I don't miss those days. But it certainly is different, and let's not beat around the bush. You know, Jamal Merriweather is going to be on campus weekend. Fully expect him to be in this class, offensive tackle out of Brunswick. And then you look at Deuce Robinson. That's where, and Walker Lines. What Walker Lines does, and you know, can Georgia get him? Kirby Smart did an in-home visit with him. So you look at all those things, and with Walker Lines, people say how they're taking four tight ends. He's basically a reclass, because once he takes his Mormon mission, I don't think he would even be there at the earliest until August of 2024, right, July 2024, right at the very end. So he wouldn't be a mid-year or nothing. He would be right before. So you basically treat him as a 2024. So that would be interesting if they do get him. But again, Todd Hartley, I mean, it's amazing that Todd Hartley is the alpha guy in the country. Like, you do not want to see Todd Hartley across the table from you recruiting a guy right now, because he's not missing, period.
On that 100 high schools in one day, like I said, there were some guys going to two or three schools, and then Hartley went to like 23. Yeah. I was running the count up.
He was on the helicopter.
He had one of the three to get a copter. That says a lot, you know, not being a coordinator.
Harley copter, you know.
How many tight end coaches in the country get the copter? It's got to be, you know, very few, but he made the most of it. He was at like 24, 25 schools in one day, probably got a couple 2027 tight ends in the boat already that, you know, that we'll find out about in the next couple of years. But he is relentless on the trail, there's no doubt.
When you look at the draft of Darnell, and then you watch how it was going to happen with Brock Bowers next year, Hartley's resume and what he has signed and what he has put into the league, he is going – I don't know anything about raises or whatever's going to happen, but when Jordan, you get those – you always get those contract updates in March or April or whatever. I would be shocked if Todd Hartley doesn't see a significant bump, in my opinion, for what he has done, what he's produced, and what he's signing, because he is – you know, I call these guys contract extenders. You know, you get another contract on guys like that. You get another 3 years to signing players like that. And Deuce Robinson, hell, Pierce Sperling was great at the All-American Bowl. And Lawson Lucky, I've seen him several times. I mean, he had to beat Alabama on Lawson Lucky. you know, and Pierce Berlin's a University of Georgia legacy. You know, mom and dad both went there, and he had opportunities. He basically shut it down from other schools. USC was all over him. And so, you know, a lot of attention is going to be on Deuce Robinson. Let's not forget Pierce Sperling and Lawson Lucky, who were two major, major, highly recruited tight end guys.
You talked about Todd Hartley and probably another pay bump, and I think Georgia fans would say worth every penny with what he's
no been doubt, able to do. No doubt, no doubt. So, you know, you look at that, and someone made in the comments right there, 478 dog, I can see Deuce helping at X. Deuce Robinson is that type of guy that you could spread out. So at the end of the day, he may wind up getting significant more snaps standing up than he ever does attached to an end of a line of scrimmage. And you're going to block at Georgia, period. But, you know, some of those guys are some of them are just more valuable out there in the X. So we'll see with Deuce. But he is a freaky, freaky 6'6 athlete.
Kip, when you look to Wednesday and National Signing Day, we talked about what Georgia's already signed. I believe they're second. Their class is second nationally. What would constitute a good day for Georgia, in your opinion?
Well, they've already got it done. I mean, that's the bottom line, is that, you know, they've already signed another Kirby Smart class. And, you know, the final rankings kind of just laid that out. You know, most of Georgia's guys vaulted up the rankings. Like we said, Pierce Sperling showing up, and, you know, he was a lot bigger than anyone thought at the All-American Bowl. I think he was, what, pushing 230, 240 pounds at 6'6". And so that, you know, that was a surprise. And obviously Jordan Hall, just seeing him, he was a guy that Rusty and I talked about throughout the cycle as just kind of being one of those guys. You know, we don't throw name comparisons out there, but as far as recruits, just like Jalen Carter were early on in the cycle, you knew this guy's a dude, and this guy has the physical makeup to be one of the freaks of the class. And then when everyone saw him and they just kind of saw that body makeup, they're like, okay, wait a second. You know, and they went to the measurements and they're like, you know, this guy, you know, this guy's one of those guys that we were very low on. And in that final rankings, you kind of saw that when he became a five-star. So again, Georgia's class is already elite. It's, you know, already over averaging over 94 rating per signee right now, which is just off the charts. Anything over 93 is incredible. Anything over 94, I mean, you're getting a class full of guys that are going to be impact players. And, you know, you look at that linebacker class again, as we said, Raylan Wilson also becoming a five-star in 24/7 Sports at the end, still maybe a little underrated, you know, as the number three linebacker in the country in that class. But I think, you know, if Todd Hartley's able to land one or two tight ends, is able to get Walker and Deuce on signing day, you just look at that overall, you plug those names into that trusty class calculator, you cross the 320-point threshold. And Georgia's only ever done that once. That was that 2018 class where they had, I think, it was 323 at the end. And so that tells you this class is already – you know, very highly rated, one of the best ever, but it really has a chance to be in that, you know, that top five or six overall classes of any program ever in 24/7 Sports. So, you know, it has a chance for the rich to get richer, and we'll see if Todd Hartley's able to land one or both of those tight ends. But as of right now, you know, they've already signed and you know, answered every question they needed to and filled every need. Whether you get two elite tight ends or four elite tight ends, those are Todd Hartley problems and really problems no, you know, no other coach can ever really think or fathom right now. So we'll see how he does that day. You know, not expecting a lot of drama, but we'll still have it covered, and we'll still have plenty of stories and kind of reviews to see how this class breaks down. But truly impressive haul for Georgia's coaching staff, and I think they're set up to compete for national championships for years to come.
No doubt about that. And as Kip said, we will be sure to be all over it. Before we wrap up this episode, a Georgia men's basketball minute. This may be like 15, 20 seconds. 70-41 loss to number 4 Tennessee. They were never really in the game. They kept it close for about 10 minutes. Sloppy game, couldn't get anything going offensively. Right now they're 13-7, three losses in a row. You're kind of starting to see, you know, they started SEC play really strongly, and I think they deserve credit for that. But you're kind of starting to see this team sort of fall back down into the SEC standings. Got a big test at home on Saturday that they need to pass. They're playing South Carolina at 6 p.m. This is a really bad South Carolina team that somehow the only win they've had in conference play to this point is at Kentucky. Other than that, haven't been able to really do very much. Georgia has to win this one. Defense has been really shaky lately. Offense outside of Terry Roberts and Kerryo Oquendo and some pretty good three-point shooting from Jabri Abdur-Rahim. That's been about it. So they got to get things figured out at home if they want to still be in contention. You know, we've talked about a potential postseason berth, maybe trying to make the NIT looking a little bleak at this point, but still a long way to go, and need to get the job done against South Carolina on Saturday night.
Give me one word from each of you. Most confident in the team to win Sunday and championship Sunday. What is one team that you feel most confident in the playoffs on Sunday? Jordan first.
I'll go Eagles, and I think I'm going to go Bengals just because I don't know about Mahomes. The fact Mahomes is hurt, I'm going to go with Joey Burrow, and I'm going to say that it's going to be the Bengals and the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Eagles and Bengals for me as well. I think Joe Burrow, I think he's won his last three against Mahomes, and I think he makes it four. He takes that crown as the best quarterback in that conference. I think that, you know, he's the clutch quarterback right now, and he's got better targets. And I'm not gonna, you know, he's got some guys, some dudes out there that make great catches. So, you know, and then Jalen Hurts, I think, you know, he's the quarterback that's just going to be, you know, really tough for the 49ers to kind of the wrap up and get their hands around it. Although they've done a pretty good job so far this year.
Who you got, Russ?
I'm interested in this high ankle with Mahomes. Like, how can he play? Because adrenaline and maybe a little bit of relaxation. He got it in the locker room last week, but what that thing looked like on Monday. We know we deal with high ankles here, and what the procedure that thing's usually a month. So, I mean, if he can do much to anything, I'm going to go Philly and Bengals as well.
We'll see what happens. Can't wait to see it. And got some dogs that'll be playing in those games, so there'll be something to watch them as well. So we're going to wrap up this episode. Want to wish everybody a happy weekend. Enjoy a little bit of time off, and we're going to try to catch our breaths before signing day on Wednesday. But appreciate everybody who watched this live, who listened to it live, who is checking it out after the fact. We appreciate y'all's support. We'll wrap it up there. For Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, I'm Jordan Hill. Until next time, take care. Friends, the army.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.